Thanks for tuning in. Amen. I'm so glad that you've tuned in, and we have this time to share together. Praise God. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wondrous and the marvelous things that you have done. Amen. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given us, the abundance that is all around. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to see what you have done, Lord God, and that you would show us the way that we would come into that abundance and take advantage of all of the blessings that you have bestowed in us, around us, upon us, and for us, Lord God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as believers in you, that you would give us a deeper and a greater revelation of you and bring us to a closer relationship and a closer walk with you. And for those among us who do not know you, Lord God, we pray that you would reveal yourself to them, Lord God, and that they would become sensitive, Lord, to your call. And we thank you for these things, Lord God, as we ask that you forgive us and then for our iniquities and our sins, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah and glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to continue in the book of Mark. We stopped off at chapter 12. At verse 11, and we spoke about a parable that Jesus had taught the people by, and he was giving an example of the vineyard and the servants and the husbandmen of the vineyard and the servants that the Lord had sent, and the way that the husbandmen mistreated and wounded and killed the servants that the Lord of the vineyard had sent to partake of the fruits of that vineyard, and how the husbandmen had wanted the vineyard that the Lord had given them authority over, how the husbandmen of that vineyard had wanted to take that vineyard for themselves. And they even killed the very son of the husbandman and cast him out of the vineyard so that they could have it to themselves. And the Lord declared that the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And he proclaimed that this was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And how marvelous it truly is when you see what the Lord has done. Amen. Even a glimpse of what the Lord has done is marvelous. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord of the vineyard, our Lord, the stone which the builders have rejected, the builders of the world, those who have built and have rejected the cornerstone, who have rejected the knowledge of the Lord, who have rejected the servants of the Lord, who have shut up the kingdom of heaven before those who the Lord sent to enter in and partake of those things which the Lord has prepared. Amen. So we are going to continue in the book of Mark, chapter 12, at verse 12. And in verse 12, we see that after the Lord had delivered this parable, the Pharisees were stung. They were upset. And verse 12 says that the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came and they sought to lay hold on him, on Jesus, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. Oh, they didn't like the truth. It hurt. They knew that even though this was a parable, they could interpret. They saw that they resembled the remarks that Jesus had made. And they were angered. And they wanted to lay hold on Jesus, but they feared the people. For even the people knew that what Jesus said applied to the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, the builders. So they went their way. Verse 13 says that, and they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. So they went the next level up on Jesus. They went to the wise men, to the ones who knew the scriptures and the ones who labored in the word, if you will. And sent them to Jesus to catch Jesus in his words. And verse 14, and when they came, when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Oh, they came with honeycombs, their mouths, lips dripping with honey. they came and they called him master. They couldn't deny the power in the words that Jesus had spoken. They couldn't deny that the people loved Jesus. They couldn't deny that the words that Jesus had spoken in his ministry was empowering the people, and the people were following, and the people were acknowledging the ministry of Jesus Christ. And rather than come and confront him and try to diminish what was obvious to all, they came with great words of praise and speaking to him as one greater than themselves, calling him master. Maybe they were trying to appeal to vanity, his vanity. Maybe they were trying to throw him off by saying, "Master, we know that everything you say is true," so that he would let his guard down. But they knew that the things that he was saying showed no regard for the person of men, because the things that he was teaching was flying right in their face. They merely acknowledged it, but they tried to play to his vanity. But there was no vanity found in him. And he was not drawn in, or he was not fooled by this very common tactic. And on top of that, they asked a question that would, if Jesus answered it, he would be discredited, or he would find himself in trouble with those over them, those in rule, those in authority. Jesus answered the question in this way: the way of a true master, when asked, "Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" In verse 15, Jesus answers and says, "Shall we give or shall we not give?" they asked. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, "Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it." And they brought it. And he saith unto them, "Whose is this image and subscription, superscription?" And they said unto him, "Caesar's." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Render unto Caesar's the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. Why did they marvel at what Jesus had spoken? Wouldn't it seem obvious? Doesn't his answer seem obvious? What's to marvel about? Well, maybe they knew something here that went beyond this answer that made them marvel. Because sometimes the true answer to a question is arrived at from your perspective. You approach the answer from where you're standing or facing or the direction that you're going in. Consider this, if you will. Jesus had just gotten through teaching the parable about the vineyard and the husbandmen. And the Lord of the vineyard leaving husbandmen in charge of the vineyard. The vineyard belonged to the Lord, and he had put husbandmen or servants or keepers, tenders of the vineyard, in his vineyard to take care of what was his. But the husbandmen of the vineyard sought to make that vineyard their own. So their perspective was, how can we take from the Lord of the vineyard his vineyard? How can we make that which is not ours, ours? What did they do? They shut those that the Lord sent to the vineyard out. They beat them, sent them out empty, wounded them, and killed them. The vineyard belonged to the Lord, not them. But they sought to take it. Hallelujah. And maybe they were so offended because they were taking that parable personally in the sense that they were entrusted with things, with the things of God. And that maybe it was being said that they were keeping people out. Maybe it was being said, maybe the people felt that the parable that Jesus taught resembled the chief priests and the elders and the Pharisees because the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the elders were doing what the husbandmen of the vineyard were doing. So they come and they ask Jesus about Caesar. In other words, okay, you want to talk about a vineyard, you want to talk about the Lord of the vineyard, okay, we're going to bring the same parable back to you, but we're going to put it in a whole nother context of Caesar, and Caesar actually in that time calling himself the Son of God, and Caesar actually claiming that he had divine right and authority to rule and to reign in the earth. And Caesar actually setting himself up as a god. And asking Jesus if they should pay give tribute to Caesar. And Jesus said to them, whose face is on that coin? And they said, Caesar's. And they said, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. Who do you say God is? They marveled, because the question now is, what belongs to Caesar and what belongs to God? If God put me over the vineyard and then send someone to the vineyard to partake of some fruit, and I beat them up and send them away empty-handed, does that mean the vineyard's mine? If I go dig up metal from the ground and put a stamp or a mark on it, my inscription on it, does that make that metal mine? It's a matter of perspective. One person may say nothing, everything belongs to God. What do we have that we have not received? You can take and you can put an inscription on anything, but God made it. It belongs to God. He created it. God created Caesar. But Caesar sets himself up as God and causes men to pay tribute to him. Hallelujah. And these wise men, these builders of the communities and keepers of the things of God, marveled. So in verse 18 it says, then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and they asked him, saying, now these Sadducees are going to come, and then now they're going to try to throw a very complicated, seemingly complicated question at Jesus. And they say in verse 19, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there are seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her, and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be then? Be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus in verse 24, answering, said unto them, do you not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Hallelujah. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, they that rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. And one of the scribes, well, let me stop there. We're running out of time. We have seen how the Son of God came and was among men. And he came to set the captives free. And he was challenged. And people tried to trap him. And eventually, he laid down his life. They did not take it from him. He laid down his life. And he came and he taught and he brought things to life, and he exposed these works and he exposed the hearts of men. And no matter how they tried to catch him up, he always brought us the truth. Hallelujah. So let us, as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people did, let's receive what God has done. But let's be careful of our perspective. The Pharisees received what Jesus was saying and doing, but because of their perspective, they tried to bring him into condemnation and to bring him into subjection. Because of their perspective, they received it, but they received it as something that was going against what they were expecting God to do. Let's receive it from the perspective of, thank you, Lord, for coming and bringing us the truth. And let's submit ourselves to the words that the Lord has spoken, to the truth that he has given us. And let us receive the sacrifice that he has made for us. For he came to set the captives free. And he came and he brought truth, and the truth will set you free. So whether we know the Lord or whether we don't know the Lord, let's come closer to him. And let's seek him and ask him, dear Lord, will you come into my heart, and will you be Lord of my life? And lead me and guide me. Save me, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to Kingdom Concepts.